Welcome to Inside Neuha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For more information about all MBSC programs, visit info@bodybyboyle.com. Today we are joined by Assumption's junior forward Sheridan Terrazano. With Assumption being elevated to the D1 level this season, Sheridan serves as the Greyhounds' first captain in program history. She also scored the program's first goal on September 29th against RIT. Sheridan, welcome to the show.
Awesome.
So before we talk about the season, let's learn a little bit more about you. So you grew up just outside of Boston in Groton, Mass. Hockey's obviously very popular in New England. So just how did you get into the sport?
Well, it was pretty much because of my dad. As soon as I knew how to walk, he would teach me how to skate. And I loved being on the ice even when I was super, super little. So he got me into it. And then I just fell in love immediately and just wanted to keep the competition up and keep going.
Did you play any other sports, or was it always just hockey?
I played soccer and lacrosse, but as I got older, I kind of dwindled away from them and stuck to hockey more.
Mm-hmm. And then I know you have a bunch of siblings. What was that like growing up with all of them in the household? Just did they all play sports too?
No, only me and my brother, my younger brother, Dominic, he played lacrosse and hockey as well. And we were pretty much the only athletes. My older sisters, they played basketball. That was about it. And then another one of my sisters, Olivia, she played, lacrosse at, Johnson State University over in Vermont. So it was definitely amazing growing up with them, especially like around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to be a part of, and it is good to be a part of such a big family and have so many supporters.
For sure. And then before Assumption, you spent two seasons at Post. Can you just kind of walk me through your recruitment process and how you ended up there?
Yeah, so it was actually a difficult recruiting process because of COVID. So it was really hard not having like really a senior season, which was kind of my prime time of wanting to show myself to college scouts. So it was difficult, but Heath Isaacson at the time was the head coach, and he reached out to me, and I saw the school, and I loved that it was like a smaller school and they were building something in this new Division I league. So I kind of just really caught my eye, and I really found it interesting, and I wanted to be a part of something that was able to grow not only the school but the league as well. And so I just ended up committing there. After I visited a couple weeks later, I called them up and I told them that I would love to be on the team.
And then what do you remember about your time there?
It was good. It was really fun. We had a great time on the ice and off the ice. And we had those early morning practices, of course, still. So that was probably the toughest part. still at Assumption it is. But I would say it was a great experience overall, becoming a part of a team that was growing. All of like the freshmen and sophomores were basically first years, because the year before my freshman year didn't happen because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like half the team was meeting another half of the team, and that was kind of hard for everyone to mesh together like that, because it's usually only like five or six people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of difficult, but we definitely got a hang of things and definitely learned a lot there.
And then you led your team in points last season as a sophomore, 20 points through 35 games, but you decided to make the transfer to Assumption, to an entirely new program ahead of this season. Just what went into that decision?
I kind of just wanted a different view and perspective on hockey and academics as well. And I am a lot closer to home, not that I was very far before, but talking to Sweeney about Assumption and about this new team he was going to build, similar to Post, it was something that I wanted to help build along with everyone else on the team and him as well, of course. And I just really wanted to be a part of something that I can look back and say, yes, I did that. I helped do that.
Right. That's awesome. And yeah, you mentioned that you're closer to home now. Has your family been able to come to a lot of games?
Oh yeah. My parents both come to every single game. The first game they missed was actually last weekend at St. Mike's. They come to every game. They take pictures with the greyhounds that we have that sometimes at our games dressed up. Like, they're very much involved. And my brother as well, my younger brother, sometimes comes when he's bored.
That's so fun.
So that's really nice as well.
And then fellow junior forward Kirsten Browning also made the jump from post to assumption with you. Is that kind of something you guys talked about before, and what is it like having her around?
Yeah, I mean, we were super close at post, and when I kind of was thinking about transferring and choosing assumption, she was kind of in the same mindset, and I kind of talked about assumption and, like, told her, you know, my reason of why I was so intrigued by assumption in this new team, and she kind of just felt the same way. And we, as upperclassmen, knowing that there wasn't going to be a lot of upperclassmen, we kind of were ready to take on a responsibility like that and teach and set up something for all of our freshmen, mm-hmm. that we can kind of start traditions and make something out of what was kind of just nothing, no team at all. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of just were both on the same page with that, and having her here is amazing. It made the transition a lot easier for both of us, I think. So it's really good to have her here with me.
For sure. And then you're serving as the captain, the first captain of the program. Just when did you find out that you were being named captain? What was your reaction?
It must have been like the first month of practices and games. And beforehand, I had taken on a lot of responsibility, and I was very vocal with the team. And so I guess there was kind of the thought that maybe I would become someone with a letter, especially with there being not a lot of upperclassmen. But nonetheless, when I found out that I was the captain and saw my name next to that C, I kind of freaked out. Like, that was my whole goal, was to be someone important on a Division I hockey team growing up. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the moment I was like, yeah, now I'm doing that. I'm pleased with my career by doing this. And I was just super excited and called up my parents immediately.
But you're no stranger to holding a leadership role. You were a captain for your Boston Shamrocks team. So was there any nerves when you, you know, first took on the position, or do you kind of see yourself as a natural leader?
I definitely see myself as a natural leader. Even without a letter or anything, I think anyone can be a leader. Some people are just, as you said, like, natural leaders. It just happens. They just like to be verbal and they like to lead by example. And I think that someone like me, I'm definitely that type of person that just likes to, I like when people come to me and when I get to, like, help their experience be a little bit better than mine and stuff like that.
And then you mentioned having that younger team, 21st years and only 3 upperclassmen. Just what has that been like, and how has it been showing them the ropes?
I won't lie, it's been a little difficult to adjust to a team, mostly because no one has experience. Like you said, there's 20 players that don't have any Division I experience. So I think that jump is a little difficult. But, I mean, they caught on very quickly. They caught on to the physical side of the game super quickly, the smarts of it. So I think there's no better group than these 20 freshmen that we have. They made it a lot easier for everyone to adjust and learn quickly and listen. So it definitely could have gone worse and could be worse. So I thank them for that. Or us as the upperclassmen, we know that they're looking at, like, pretty much everything that we do, especially because there's only, like, a couple of us, 3 of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing and leading a good example on and off the ice is super important, something that they can follow and get used to for their next 3 years here.
Mm-hmm. And then, as I mentioned earlier, you scored the program's first goal in your guys' first game. Just what's the excitement level knowing that you are kind of paving history at this program?
Oh, it was insane. I mean, I can barely even put it into words. Going into that game, I just wanted someone to get that first goal. I did not care if it was me. I didn't care if it was the goalie. I just wanted someone to get that first goal and for us to make that mark on history and just keep going. When I had gotten that first goal, I literally don't have any words. I was so excited. I was so happy. I was relieved that we had gotten it and we could, you know, check that off the list and not have that be a worry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exhilarating. It was very, very amazing. And I'm very thankful my teammates were as happy for me as I was about it.
Do you actually remember the moment when you saw the puck go in, or did you kind of black out?
I kind of remember. I remember it was kind of like a rebound. I was right in front of the net, so I literally watched the puck go in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that, I just scored that first goal. And, a part of me forgot that it was, our first goal.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me was like, oh, yeah, just a goal I scored. And then I saw people in the stands, and I saw my teammates skate up to me and jump on me. And I'm like, oh, my God, this was our first goal. This is a big deal.
Yeah, such a cool memory. And then you've gotten to play them twice already this season, but this weekend's your first series against your former team. You had the game winner in your guys' 3-0 shutout from November. Just what is it like playing them, and how fired up are you for this weekend?
It's definitely nerve-wracking, but there's such a good group of girls that, it's very fun. Being on the ice with them, even against them, is super fun, you know, we mess around with each other, we talk after the game on the ice a little bit, so there's definitely, it brings that fun into hockey, when you're little kids playing, your high school friends or something like that, and it's definitely exciting. It makes the game definitely more intense for me, and a lot more, you know, heart drops to the stomach a lot during these games. I'm super excited for this weekend and to see them and play them and be on the ice with them again.
For sure. And now we'll get into the more fun questions. So what is your hockey nickname, and who has the best nickname on your team?
I would say my nickname is usually Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Or Sherry, and I guess sometimes some people call me Sherry Terry, so that's a good one. I like that. And then the best one on the team, oh man, I can't even think of any.
I guess you're still learning all of the people too, so.
Yeah, they're still all earning their their names.
And then, why do you wear your number 7?
I wear 7 because when I was on my first team, I was number 7, and I don't remember why. I think it was because I was actually 7 years old. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's why I chose it back then. But whatever the reason was, I wanted to finish my hockey career with the number that I started. So
love it.
7 was the one.
And then, you know, coming to a new team, just how have you guys kind of bonded away from the ice?
Well, we started off with a volleyball game tournament. That was one of the first, team bonding things that we did. And I think that was really fun, especially getting the volleyball stuck in a tree and everyone throwing the football at it, trying to get it out. I think just being on campus and being with everyone all the time is helping us, get to know each other. And, you know, we're all in the same exact experience, which I think helps everyone feel more comfortable. And because, yes, I've been in Division I hockey before, and yes, I've been in college before, but this is the first year on this team at this school. None of us can find this building over here. None of us know what the dining hall room is named. So, I think the very beginning, it was nice to have everyone on the same page and feel a little lost, but we were lost together, so it helped us kind of form that connection.
Right, you kind of feel like a freshman again.
Yeah.
And then I was reading your bio and it said that your dream job is to be an FBI agent. Can you just walk me through that?
I mean, ever since I was young, I just loved like documentaries and like mystery and crime, and I think a part of it can be like very thrilling. So I think like solving crime at like a high a level would be super cool. And also, I have to say, I love the jackets that they have. They're very cool, and I really want
And then I saw that you're a management major and you seem to be pretty passionate about business. You have a couple yourself, so just beyond hockey, like what are your career goals?
one. I just want to kind of, well, I'm partnered with S3 Hockey Development, which is a hockey company for girls. And I kind of joined that and started partnering with that company because I want to make a difference in girls' hockey. It's finally becoming bigger and more important than when I was a kid growing up. And I just want to make sure that keeps going. So that's kind of mixes with hockey and business, because the business side of it is obviously a lot as well. To run that business and everything like that. But I think my goal is to just love what I do, and I want to travel, work with companies and businesses that will travel and go to amazing places and meet a lot of people and just constantly learning, constantly growing, being at a place where I can grow.
So are you still looking to work in hockey even if you're not playing?
Yeah, I think I'll always want to coach, whether it's the little U8s that I see on Sundays or, a college team eventually. I'm not really sure, but I definitely want to stick with it.
Right, that's awesome. All right, and that wraps up this episode of Inside Neuhaus, Sheridan. Thank you so much for joining us and best of luck this weekend.
Of course, thank you.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside Neuhaus. That is the New England Women's Hockey Alliance. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined this week. Our featured team are the Greyhounds at Assumption. And first-year head coach Jack Sweeney, the Greyhounds currently sixth in the league, looking to make a move here in the final weeks of the regular season. They find themselves just 4 points out of fifth and sixth out of fourth place right now. And primed with a big weekend to come, coming off a big weekend at St. Michael's, where they were able to get a win and a tie, moving on now to play CW Post this weekend. We welcome in Jack, and Jack, an extensive hockey background, going all the way back to your playing days at Salem State with Bill O'Neill, good friend of us both. Spent time on his staff, among other places that you were around the world of hockey and junior hockey. And whenever I talk to a new coach, I always say, you know, the education of a new coach, a new head coach, the experience overall at Assumption, and what's it been like, what you expected, a lot of things thrown at you that were unexpected, but the fact that you have your own program, I'm sure, has been very exciting for you.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. Really happy to be here and happy to be speaking with you on behalf of the Neuhaus and Assumption University. A brand new program. Obviously, is going to bring a lot of challenges with it. Trying to mesh 25 new players to a program that have really never played for you. That type of dynamic is definitely going to create some growing pains. And I had talked to my team about that in the initial stages of preparation, that we were going to go through some growing pains as a first year program.
Mm-hmm.
We're following pretty much the blueprint I had laid out and what I thought would happen. I thought the beginning of our season was going to be really, really hard to compete. The quality of play in the league itself is significant. And not only the quality of play in the league, but we played our six non-conference games all in the first semester. I knew we were going to have some growing pains right out of the gate.
Yeah, you had pretty challenging. You look at some of the non-conference games. You had RIT and also matching up, and you did match up favorably. The ECAC is so formidable, but way back early on, you got a test when you went up to Dartmouth and played a one-goal game. That must have make you feel pretty good playing teams like Dartmouth, RPI, some of these non-conference challenges that you've had.
Yeah, as I said, our conference play is so challenging in and of itself. And when you go and play outside of conference against established teams like a Dartmouth or an RPI or, a Holy Cross, these games are meaningful, outside of the conference because of the historical, existence of those programs.
You spent a lot of time, obviously, coaching on the men's side in both the college level, junior level, coming over to the women's side. I know you're the head coach of the WPI women's club program. And now, of course, at Assumption right there back in the Worcester area. Always curious to talk about going back to when I remember when Ben Smith took over the women's program and 25 years ago with the gold medal. And I'm always interested to know just some of the differences. You come over from the men's side to the women's side. A lot of it has been welcoming for a lot of guys that have been longstanding coach on the men's side. But your reaction, your adjustment to being able to coach now a Division I program on the women's side?
So I've been asked that question many, many times. What's the difference between coaching on the men's side or coaching on the women's side? And the game is still very much the same. I mean, we've got to keep the puck out of our net, and we've got to find a way to put the puck in their net. I mean, it's that simple. The non-direct contact, I guess, is definitely a difference in the coaching style because, body checking on the men's side is definitely part of a D-zone coverage structure and puck separation and things like that, where here it's more on angling, getting sticks on pucks and things like that, much more so than the physical, contact. I really believe that's the only difference. Mm-hmm. I think the players are the same. I think all the mindsets are the same. The structure that I use is the same. The mentality that I have towards the players is all the same. I really don't see much difference in what I'm doing from one side to the next.
Mentioned about a new program, and obviously there's so many freshmen, so many first-year players. What I really noticed, just taking a deeper dive into your roster there, taking a look, already you've got a presence coming from a number of different areas. I mean, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, some prime areas such as that in the Midwest that are represented, Jack, but also going out to California and some other areas. And you're finding that right now is just the cachet of, hey, we're a Division I program. This league is viable. The league is now becoming more established and growing. I'm sure that's become an asset when you sell the Assumption program when you go out there now to recruit and recruiting in the future.
Well, Division I athletic is always the, that's the top of the cone. That is the aspiration of most student athletes, is to play at the highest level they can possibly play at. So when you're offering that opportunity, obviously it definitely delivers, something that is going to intrigue them. As far as the geography goes, the full season midget programs, across the country really allow for players to emerge from non-traditional playing areas and allow them to be seen. So I think that really helps. The structure of the Minnesota High School Hockey League is such that it's very easily scouted, and because they've been able to kind of keep everything, in the state of Minnesota the way it is, mm-hmm. That really makes it easy to follow the players that way. And then here in New England, the prep school world has always done a really good job, along with the private high schools. Our leading scorer right now is from a MIAA program. So can see hockey players are hockey players regardless of where they come from. It's just a matter of being able to find them.
Yeah, well, you've been doing a good job of that. And once again, case in point, the fact that you've already covered some ground in the recruiting process. Last weekend, once again, at St. Michael's, you go on the road, 5-2 victory on Friday to get the weekend started. 2-2 tie, a game that, once again, you go a little deeper. You came back, rallied from being down 2 in the third period. Huge territorial advantage. I couldn't believe the shot numbers are just gaudy. 53-31 in the opening game and 60-30. Just to put a tremendous amount of pressure on St. Mike's from on the offensive side, and but still hard fought. And when there's a goaltender involved with this sport that we love, it was a hard fought game for you to just to be able to rally back and be resilient enough to finally come back and earn the points on in the tie game on the back end of the series.
Well, I can tell you that it didn't feel like 60 shots. I give all the teams in this league a lot of credit. St. Mike's is no different than any team in this league. If you do not show up to play, you're not going to win. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Every team in this league has players that, you know, belong here and deserve to be here. And they have competitive edge to them that if you don't rise to that, they're gonna take you down. So I don't feel as though that game looked like that. I felt threatened by St. Mike's through the entire 4 games we played them this season. Mm-hmm. And I feel the exact same way about every team in this league. Every team in this league is a real threat to win on any night.
Looking at one of the areas of the team there, failure to capitalize. You did have the one power play goal, which was big for you in the opening game, but 1-for-11. I know the power play's been a concern. I'm sure you've been tweaking with that here as you head to the stretch run.
Yeah, I mean, the power play hasn't really connected. I think a lot of that has to do... power play is about confidence, not just about structure. I mean, there's very few systems involved in power play. We can identify what we want to do and what other teams want to do on special teams. And there's an action and a reaction to those systems. So at the end of the day, it's about, you know, having confidence in yourself and kind of recognizing when a situation presents itself and where you're going to move a puck when that happens. And I don't know if we've quite gotten there yet. I think we're still a little bit, inexperienced in that regard. Mm-hmm. I have every confidence in our players to reach it. And yeah, we do work on it. And, as time goes on, just like our season has gone on, we've gotten better in so many different areas. I would just say that particular part of it, still something we can be better at.
3 honorees from your team last week. In the Neuhauer honor roll, the player of the week, Alexia Hanrahan. She's a Minnesota native. Huge weekend for her with 3 goals and 3 assists. And also the rookie of the week, now the 4-time rookie of the week, Jenna Chaplain. And Chaplain from Massachusetts native with 5 points and a +5. And then also on the honor roll, you had Tegan Vaughn, who was a defensive standout for you. So great to see those players all as honorees showing off their skills for you.
Yeah, Alexa's a lot different player than Jenna is. Alexa's got a really exceptional shot in just the way she can place it. Mm-hmm. Jenna is very, very slick with the puck. You know, she's got some creativity to her pretty. Yeah, it's quite impressive. And what's really interesting about Jenna is how she's one of the players on the team that really can remain calm. Mm-hmm. under just about any circumstance. It's just her personality, and I think that's an asset to her.
And also our player profile with my partner on the show, with Gracie Davenport this week, just to give us some insight about Sheridan Terrazano. She'll be our featured Greyhound this week.
Yeah, Sheridan's one of those players. I mean, you mentioned early on in our interview, Coach O'Neill from Salem State, who I played for and coached with, one of the best pieces of advice he ever gave me when I started coaching was get the players that always score, get the players who score, because they always do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always find a way. Sheridan is one of those players that when you watch her play, she's, you know, she might be a little unassuming, you know, in the way she handles a puck or what have you. And the next thing you know, she's made some kind of move and found a way to put it in the net. Mm-hmm. She just has that knack. It's like, you know, that statement really resonates. The players that score goals, you know, consistently are always going to find a way to score goals.
Next up will be CW Post. You've had some success against them, Jack. Going back, boy, it's a long season. Way back to October, you had an overtime victory and then a 3-0 shutout in November. Here it is now, the calendar turned into February, and you see Post again. Your thoughts on getting ready for that challenge?
Oh, I think they're a terrific team in our league. You know, that's a team. If we don't show up to play, that, you know, we can't win. They've got some players on that team who are extremely impressive, extremely skilled. They can all skate. You know, they're extremely well coached. I think that team is, you know, strong. You know, I know I continue to hit that point, but the fact remains that the teams in this league are very difficult to play, and if you don't show up, you have no chance of winning.
Best of luck this weekend and moving forward down the stretch run, and very happy that you could join us here this week on Inside Neuhauer. All the best, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Bernie. Really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Jack Sweeney, our guest, head coach in his first season for the Assumption Greyhounds here on Inside Neuhauer, inside the New England Women's Hockey Alliance here this week.